time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each of soul to keep. Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each of soul to keep.
Welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician, otherwise known as the naturopathic physician. And my guest today is me, mainly because we had a little snafu and are not able to have Ariane Thomas with us again this week. We didn't quite finish what we were talking about last week with the different types of quartz crystals, so we will try again for that next week. And this show today is going to be live. And I would like to talk to you first about a few things that, if you're a new listener, you might need to know. And one is about what a naturopathic physician is. I am licensed in the state of Arizona as a general practice physician in naturopathic medicine. What that means is that I have pretty much the same responsibilities as an MD or DO as far as reporting and, you know, things that we have to do, public health things. You know, pretty much the same as the old country doc. So if you think of a naturopathic physician who's licensed, more as that, it might help you have a clearer understanding. We do not do surgeries other than minor surgeries in the office. We do not do drugs if we can help it, but sometimes you need drugs. So one of the things I wanted to talk about today really has to do with how do you feel when you go to the doctor? And, you know, I hear a lot of doctor bashing. And I hear it from both sides because my background was 30 years as an RN in ER and ICU and CCU and IMC and home health and home hospice. So I started out with the whole allopathic stuff. And for those of you that don't know what allopathic is, that means MD. Osteopathic is DO. And naturopathic is ND or NMD. So what I started out with was what I thought was real science. And, you know, we've been taught that that's what medicine is. As I got through the many years and saw the same people coming back over and over, I realized it wasn't as scientific as they thought it was. And hence they call it the art or the practice of medicine and not the science of medicine. And a lot of you are probably nodding your heads and going, boy, you got that right. So what happens, I think, is that people get stuck in a belief system. And we know this, you know, any of you that are enlightened know this. We get stuck in this belief system, and we throw everything that we have into it, and we become that belief system, and then we attack anyone who tries to change it. And humanity has been this way for a long time. I mean, look at what happened to Galileo and many others, Christ, you know, many, many others. So I think it behooves us to start looking at things a little more rationally, like drop the belief system and go for what the truth is. The truth is that a good doctor is a good doctor no matter what kind of medicine they're practicing. And the term doctor actually means teacher. And if you think back on that, you know, medicine means health. So what a doctor really is a teacher of health. And oftentimes the doctors are the ones that need to learn that the most, and that's why we go into being doctors. But for your sake, I would ask that you please consider carefully what type of doctor you're going to and what you really want out of that relationship. So I don't want to see any doctor bashing, okay? Everybody's doing the best they can. And, yeah, there are bad doctors just like there are bad everything else. You know, you run the full gamut from mediocre to bad and, you know, really excellent on one end and, you know, average and won't kill you, you know, kind of in the middle part, which is good. You know, we want more in the middle than we do on the bad end. But it really is an art. It's the art of intuiting what's going to work best with that patient. Intuition is extremely important in this. What I see is I see otherwise rational, intelligent people who become physicians suddenly think that they can do anything. I've seen them do things that are incredibly stupid. And any rational person would look at them and say, have you lost your mind? And, you know, my famous quote for years was, just because we can do it does not mean that we should do it. Kind of like, you know, when Dr. Bell was talking the other day with Dr. Deagle about how they're experimenting in Texas with antimatter. You know, you kind of go, is this such a good idea? We could all go poof in an instant, you know, and not even know what happened. So it's that kind of thing, you know, and just because we have the atom bomb does not mean we should use it. Just because we can poison the skies and control people's minds does not mean that we should use that. So I'm appealing to the scientists out there, if there's anyone listening to this program, wake up, please. And on a more minute scale, I'm appealing to all of the listeners to please take full responsibility for your health. It's really important that you understand what you want out of a doctor-patient relationship and out of life, indeed, and to go after it. You know, you don't have to do what everybody tells you to do. And by the way, I got fired once for saying that to a patient. It was kind of funny. Actually, I had two patients that had the same doctor, and they asked me what they should do, and I said, well, I don't know. And they said, well, you know, I kind of believe in this. And I said, you know, you have the right to do whatever you feel is right in your life. And they told the doctor, because I said, why don't you go ask your doctor? And I got fired. So I thought that was kind of interesting, you know, fired for the truth and for telling people, you know, what their rights actually were. So really, you need to take hold of your rights. And in health, this is way more important than most people realize. I don't think most of you understand what really happens when you go into a hospital. You pretty much lose your power. You're going to do what they tell you to do, or you're going to get booted out of there, and then your insurance will not pay, because then you're discharged for noncompliance, or you leave against medical advice. You know, there's several things that can happen that can cause distress in your life financially with that. So I think a lot of people go along with it, and they don't take the responsibility. You know, ask your doctors why they want to do what they're doing. This is an important thing. Unless you understand it, don't allow it to happen. And, you know, there's plenty of doctors that are out there that, you know, if they're hearing this, are pretty upset with me right now because they think what they know what's best for the patient. I'm here to tell you people, they don't. You know what's best for you. And if you don't understand the situation, if you don't understand what you need and what's going on in your body, then it's your responsibility to find out. So I'd like to also state at this point that there are some patients who are truly stupid and should not have anything to do with their own health. So, you know, just like there's good and bad doctors, there's good and bad patients and people who understand their bodies and people who don't. If you're in tune with your body, you probably know more than the doctor does. If you're not in tune with your body, I feel sorry for you. You know, you need to go do some kind of exercise with meditation or something that's going to help you to get in tune with your body. And even if you're highly intelligent, or maybe because you're highly intelligent, you might have even more problems. And I watched this happen to a dear friend of mine who's an internal medicine doc who was butchered by one of her colleagues who then tried to go back in and cover up the mistakes he made and cause permanent damage. So my friend has been really in trouble for pretty much the entire last portion of her adult life here. She's really had terrible pain. She's been on painkillers and, you know, can't work full time. She cannot realize her full potential. But her end of this whole thing was she didn't listen. The little voice within said, don't do this. And because she was raised in a family where the parents were geniuses and didn't believe in spiritual guidance or anything else, she just said, well, that's stupid, you know. There's no problem. I'm going to go in and I'm going to let him do this. Twice. Her intuition told her, don't do this, and she ignored it both times, and now she's permanently damaged. So you do have a responsibility, you know, yourself, too. There's a responsibility on both sides. And, you know, I'm not saying this because I want to bash MDs or DOs, and, you know, a lot of naturopath bashing goes on their side. I'm here to say, let's stop this crap, okay? Let's get real. Let's put the responsibility where it lies. It's your responsibility as a patient. You need to find the best doctor. And, you know, I'm all for licensing now. I wasn't when I started, but I am now because I've seen too many stupid things happen to people and criminal things. And so I think that with the state of humanity the way it is, we do need to be licensed and, you know, somebody's got to be watching. Either that or we need to go back to the old West where nobody was licensed and where you took your chances. And if you were a good doctor, everybody loved you and took care of you. And if you weren't, they ran you out of town. And unfortunately, a few people died, you know, finding out if a doctor was good or not. But I think that probably there were less deaths then than there are now. When you consider the advances we've had in medicine and science. And speaking about those advances, while I ramble on here, One of the things that has always amazed me is all the incredible studies that are out there that prove that something works. And yet you will find many physicians who will not listen because it wasn't what they were taught in med school, which I think is one of the stupidest things that I've ever heard. And I'll give you an example of that. I used to write a column for MD News years ago in Las Vegas. And it was a column about doctors and for doctors. And I also had a nutritional column because I knew these guys didn't know anything about nutrition. So I was writing this column to inform them of something. So the premier issue came out, and my publisher went to the medical dinner that night. And so everyone had looked at the magazine, and I said, yeah, you're going to go there, and the first thing that you're going to hear is, oh, that crap doesn't work. And the next thing out of their mouths is going to be, what is that? And she said, oh, no, these are intelligent people. They're not going to do that. They know what they're talking about. I said, okay, you go ahead and you find out. The next day she called me up at 6 a.m. and said, I'm sorry to wake you up, but I had to tell you it happened exactly like you said. She said, I couldn't believe it had happened time after time after time. They knew absolutely nothing about the article that you had written, but yet they were pronouncing that it didn't work, and the next sentence was, what is that stuff? I had to laugh. And, I mean, you know, you have to laugh or you cry. That is such a travesty to have supposedly intelligent people behave like that. Now, let's take it a little bit further. What happens when you go into the hospital? Are you getting the best care? Are you getting somebody that knows the type of care that you want or that knows your body? You know, odds are the answer is no. Again, let me say, I'm not interested in doctor bashing. I am interested in you taking responsibility for your health. So to that end, this is a live show tonight. It's call-in. Hopefully the call-in lines will be working. So if you'd like to call in and ask me a question, if I can answer it, I will. If I can't, I'll be honest with you, and I'll tell you that I don't know. But I'm here to educate. I'm here to help people to take responsibility and to find out what they want to know about naturopathic medicine. And I know quite a bit about allopathic, too, because that was my world for a long time, although I'm not an allopathic physician. So let me make that clear. And I don't want to be an allopathic physician, thank you very much. I'm quite happy being a naturopathic one. And the difference is that I am health-based. You know, I look at the model of health, and a naturopathic physician will say, well, if this doesn't work, why doesn't it work? What could happen that would stop this system from working? And so we kind of go backwards through the backwards algorithm. Okay, if this doesn't work, this, and this can cause it. And then you go through and you try to eliminate the possibilities, and you narrow it down to one or two things, and then you backtrack. Okay, what would cause that? And you keep backtracking until you find the original cause of the problem. You take care of that cause, and voila, the body is miraculously healed. And it's so easy. A few people had any idea how easy it is to really help people, you would be shocked, because that's not what happens in the United States, in our Western medical world, unfortunately. We need to change that. So to that end, I'm begging you, please, to start taking some responsibility for your health. And let me give you a few other examples of things that can happen when you don't take responsibility. I can remember years ago when I was an RN, and, you know, giving the medicines out to people, walking into somebody's room, and you ask them their name, you look at their tag that they're wearing on the wrist, and you double-check your medicine, make sure you're giving them the right medicine, because you're giving medicine to, you know, maybe 100 people a night at various times, and sometimes it's fairly busy. If you have a really dangerous medicine, then you always double-check it with another nurse. So I had one incident where I was standing there at the bedside. I asked the patient her name. She said, yes, that's her name. She had no bracelet on. And I said, let me see your bracelet. And she said, oh, well, you know, they have to cut it off because of blah, blah, blah. I said, are you so-and-so? And she said, yes, I am. And I said, okay. And I double-checked the medication, and I gave it to her. And it was a dose of potassium and something else. And she gulped it down. And then she said, well, that's new. She said, what am I taking that for? And I said, what? As my stomach was sinking. I said, that's your potassium because you have a low potassium level. She said, well, when did that happen? And so I went and double-checked again, and I said, tell me your name. And she told me her name, and it was completely different than she had agreed to before. So, you know, in that instance, you go, oh, man, you know, what could I do other than asking her to write her name down for me? So, you see, those things happen if you're not paying attention to. There are all the horror stories of people getting the wrong leg cut off or taking the one eye that was good, you know, things like that. And everybody thinks, oh, my gosh, that's bad hospital stuff. Well, people, you know, it's mistakes. Doctors are human. Nurses are human. The patients are human. So if we're all making mistakes, if you're on a badly aspected day or something, you know, the astrologers would say, oh, it's bad aspects and you should have stayed in bed that day. Maybe. But if you pay a little bit of attention, you can get through anything. So think about that the next time you have to go to the doctor. How about the times when you've lied to the doctor? And you go in and the doctor says, oh, have you been exercising and you're taking your medication and everything? You say, oh, yeah, doc, I'm doing all that. And in reality, you're not exercising because you just don't want to. You're not taking the medication because you forget half the time. And the doctor looks at this and says, wow, you know, I'm giving them a pretty hefty dose of this blood pressure medication or whatever, and it's not working. I'm going to have to increase the dose or add another blood pressure medication. So they do that, and the next thing you know, you wake up in the ER because you passed out. Now, you'd be prone to blame the doctor, wouldn't you? But that's not the doctor's fault. That would have been your fault for not disclosing what the truth is. And I don't know why people are so afraid to talk to their doctors. You hire the doctor, okay? The doctor does not work for you. I mean, you do not work for the doctor. Let me rephrase that. You do not work for the doctor. The doctor works for you. So it's important. You know, the doctor is your employee. The doctor is your consultant. Why are you afraid to talk to them? And how about all the questions that you have? You know, I mean, people are amazed when they come to see me because they have a list of questions and they sit down and they show me the list and they say, I've got all these questions and I don't know if you have time, and I tell them I'll make the time because it's important to me that my patients get their questions answered. Otherwise, we can have misunderstandings. And I do not like misunderstandings. I like things to be clear. I like things to be truthful and honest. Saves a lot of time and a lot of heartache for both of us. So when you go in, have your questions ready. Because I can tell you that if you go into the doctor with a list of questions in your head and the doctor says, okay, I'll see you next week or 2 weeks or next month, and you go, the doctor's already out the door. You know, they have a tight schedule. So they're out the door down the hall and you didn't get your questions answered. Now, a lot of times you can ask the nurse. Most of the time when I was in the hospital, the patients didn't talk to the doctors, they talked to the nurses. So I try to make sure in my practice that the patient gets to talk to me. I return my phone calls, maybe not right away, but I get to them when I can, and talk to the patient, find out what the problems are. If you don't communicate, then you're at fault when something happens. So this is one of those programs tonight where you get to go, what have I done in these past relationships? And, you know, when you're on the spiritual path, it's a two-way street, and at some point you realize that. And you realize that you weren't playing this game alone. You know, we're all in it together. So anytime you have an interaction with anybody else, what's your part? What's their part? What's the lesson? Why are you there? Yeah, I know. So now, let's think a little bit more about what happens with medical care. And I'm speaking of the United States because I don't have experience very much in other countries. I have a little experience seeing what isn't there. But we have the best medical care in the United States, and we have the sickest people. Now, how can that be? Think about that for a minute. We have the best medical care, and we have the sickest people. I don't know about you, but that shocked me when I first heard that. And it's true more so today than it ever was. Now, granted, a large part of that is due to our poor diet and lack of exercise and stress-filled lives and things like that, but it goes beyond that. You know, it goes down to the very fabric of how our society is structured and the way medical care is structured. I can't tell you how many times people have said to me, well, I'd like to come and see you, but you don't take Medicare. And I tell them that's right. They don't recognize naturopathic physicians. They'll recognize acupuncturists, but not us. And I'm okay with that. I don't want to take Medicare. Medicare does not pay well. And they give you so much hassle, you wouldn't believe it. If you saw the stuff that they send out and make you do all of the paperwork. I mean, I have to take my hats off to those docs that take Medicare because I don't want to do it. I wouldn't do it. So the next question then is, who can afford naturopathic care? And it's an out-of-pocket expense. You know, your insurance, some insurance will pay for it. And some naturopathic physicians will take insurance. I don't. I played that insurance game my first year out of med school. I had insurance companies that did truly ridiculous things to try to get out of paying me. Things like sending me back the automated HCFA form that the computer spits out, complete with ICD-9 and CPT codes, which are, you know, their magic code, and my signature and date and, you know, everything else, everything completely correct, only to get these things back like a couple months later saying, well, you didn't put the codes in. And I'd look at the paper and say, oh, sure looks like the codes to me. The computer put them in. And I'd put a little post-it note there and say, these look like codes to me. And I would send it back. And a couple months later, I'd get it back, and they'd say, yeah, well, you didn't sign it. And I'd look at the paper and say, sure looks like my signature to me. And I'd put another post-it note on it and send it back. And about 8 months later, I'd get it back with a letter of explanation of why they were refusing it. It was refused for untimely submission. That was one of the good ones that I got back. And this was after I had sent the claim in the day the patient was in the office. So they're playing games out there, folks. You know, the doctors can't handle that. You have to go after it. I know so many physicians that have a staff of 9 clerks in a 2-physician office, and all the clerks do all day is chase down insurance claims and try to get the insurance companies to pay them. That's ridiculous. So, personally, I don't take insurance in my practice anymore. And that's why. I had another one that happened that they sent me a check on a patient I didn't have, and I was not part of their group. And so I called them up, and I sent the check back with a letter of explanation. And many, many months later, like a year later or something, I forget, they sent me back a nasty letter, basically yelling at me in the letter, telling me that they were going to ding my account, and they were going to deduct the money from an account I don't have on a patient I did not have for a check that I sent back to them many, many months before. When I called, after about half an hour or so on the phone with someone and starting the conversation with, I think it's really nice that you guys are hiring the handicapped, but do you need to let them use recreational drugs while they're working? And they said, what? And I said, well, you know, I did this, and now you're sending me a nasty letter. And after another 20 minutes of explaining this to this person, she said, so just send the check back. Mm-hmm. If you didn't quite get that part, rewind and go back. So that's the state of insurance these days. And I feel really sorry for the docs that have to take insurance because I know what they're up against. And I was at the point where after this happened several times, I was grousing with some friends of mine, MD internist friends. And they said, you know what, it's not just you. They do that to us too. That's why we have these staffs that do nothing but chase these things down. So in America, when you have health care paid by an insurance plan, you now have to be smarter than the insurance companies, who, by the way, hire people to make sure that you don't get your money. So, and by the way, you know, insurance is legalized gambling. Basically, they're betting that you're not ever going to have to require the care, and you're betting that you are going to. So it's a money game. So if you think the insurance companies are out there to help you, let me be the first to inform you that is not true. They're in it for the money. And I don't care how many insurance people are listening to this and don't like that, you know it's the truth. So now we go on to how you're going to pay for your medical care. And so many people come in and they look so desperate and they say, I really need help. And I tell them, yes, well, I've done, you know, X amount of pro bono cases this month and I can't carry anymore for free. So how are people going to get the care that they need? And what they really need is they need to become educated. That's what this program is about, to help you to get some kind of medical knowledge so you can start to kind of find your way through the forest of confusing crap and get to a state of health within yourself. Just remember, you have to use your brain, and it's your responsibility. Now, once in a while, you might come across someone who's a patient advocate. Many nurses are actually patient advocates. That was the job. And it's written into the Nurse Practice Act that way in many states. So you can always go ask a nurse, you know, what's the best way to go? You know, what's this? What's that? And you'll find a lot of divergent opinions. One of the biggest problems is with people with cancer. And I've had so many patients ask me, what should I do? And I tell them, I can't tell you that. You need to find out what you should do. I can tell you what the options are, and I can tell you what the suspected outcome might be, but I can't tell you what to do in your life. And then they ask me, what would you do? And I have to laugh, and I say, please don't ask me that, because I'm not you. What I would do would be so outrageous and completely off the line that you would never even consider it, most likely. And it's not that I know so much more, it's that my life is different from most people who are ill. So you need to know where you're at. And the first thing I tell my patients when they come in is, I need to make the X on the map so we know where you're at and where we're going to, and then I can tell you how we're going to get there and approximately how long it's going to take. So there's a lot of things in there for you to consider. If you've never used naturopathic medical care before, let me tell you, there are good and bad naturopathic physicians, just like there are good and bad allopathic and osteopathic ones, and chiropractors, so or anything. So buyer beware. Go investigate the person. Anyone who is on the on a licensed bureau, anyone who has a license,
hello, Dr. Valerie,
is able to use that license in a number of different ways, and it'll all be in the Practice Act. So you can look up the revised statutes in Arizona. They're called the Arizona Revised Statutes. You can see what a particular physician is able to do. Don, is there something going on with the feed there?
There's a caller online. Do you hear her?
No, I guess
I can.
She can hear you, but you can't hear her?
Nope. All I heard was a squeak. Okay.
Okay. Caller, try now.
Hello, Dr. Valerie.
Oh, hi. I can barely hear you.
See, there's something wrong here with the way this... I'm going to have to fix this. This has been doing this for a little while now, and I don't know how to prevent it, so I'm going to have to change. Callers are going to have a difficult time today.
Maybe what you could do is relay the question to me, and then I'd be happy to answer it.
All right, Paula, what's your question?
I was curious about what exactly the holographic room did to the human energy field. Can you hear me?
I heard something about holographic room.
Should I try to call again?
Hold on.
Okay.
Try talking now.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Am I coming
through
okay?
You're still very faint. Can you speak up a bit?
I will. Is this better?
It's a little bit better. Go ahead and ask your question. Who am I talking with?
My name is Cindy.
Hi, Cindy. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I was curious about your work, and my specific question was about the holographic room and how it affects the human energy field.
Good question. I don't know if the listeners could hear that. Cindy has said that she's curious about the holographic room and how it affects the energy fields of a person. And that's a good question. You know, we'd like to know that too. Basically, the holographic projectors that I'm using are brought to us by Dr. Fred Bell of Paradyne.com. And Dr. Fred is really an interesting guy, besides being a genius. He's just an incredible guy and an Andromedan and Pleiadian contactee. So he's brought through these designs. And what he says about it, and he's the physicist. Let me stay here. I never took a physics class, okay? I'm old. Women didn't normally take physics class back in my time. But there's something about quantum physics that makes sense to most of us. What he's done is he's explained a little bit about the Andromedan projectors and how they create a scalar wave. And so it's taking packets of information and sending them on this wave through the universes and through time and all dimensions and everything else. Just goes out there and it's on a wave. What comes back to you is what you've asked for. Because in effect, what you've done is you have stepped up to the microphone of the universe and you said, "Hi, how are you? I'm here and I appreciate your help and this is what I'd like." And so all that goes out into the universe, and pretty soon you have a bunch of answers that come back going, "Hey, how are you?" And some of those people in the other dimensions or beings, you know, from other planets come very close to you and touch you. And what they do is they cause physical things to happen. You can feel them. So with every person that's lying on the bed in the holographic room, every single one of them has said, "I didn't see them, but I felt them." And the first thing they felt was something going right to the area of problem. Now, are they healing? I don't know. I've only had them in place for about a month and a half. I'm going to be running a study. In fact, starting tomorrow, we're doing a pilot study to see what actually happens. We're going to measure resonant fields of the people before they go in and after they go in. We want to see what's really happening. We're measuring a lot of other things, too, you know, blood pressure and pulse and eyesight, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So we can see what really is being affected. My own feeling about it is that these energies are opening you up to the other dimensions, which is what Dr. Bell actually states, you know, that you're opening up to the fourth, fifth, and sixth dimensions. My feeling is that, you know, you've opened up and you're now in a state of allowance and you're asking for help. And you know that old saying about how the angels can't help you unless you ask? It's kind of that thing. So I have observed a lot of incredible things happening with people. I've seen people's energy fields increase with one 10-minute treatment in that room. You know, they might go in near death and they come out going, "Wow, I feel really good." And you look at their auras and it's like, wow, you know, the energy field has increased. So I can feel it and I can see it. They can feel it. Now I want to prove it. Does that help?
Yes, thank you. May I ask one more?
Oh, sure.
I was curious what the marriage is between what you just explained and naturopathic medicine.
That's a good question, too. Naturopathic medicine is kind of like speaking five different languages of medicine.
Mm.
When you look at the bag of tricks that an allopathic physician has, which is an MD, they pretty much have drugs and surgery. If you look at what a DO has, or an osteopathic doctor, they have drugs, surgery, and manipulation. If you look at what an Oriental medical doctor has, they have mostly energy manipulation, drugs, surgeries, some manipulation also, and more nutrition. If you look at a naturopathic physician, which is an ND, that's with an N like Nancy, or naturopathic, or an NMD, which is naturopathic medical doctor. We have both of those designations in my state. What that person has is a full range of things. We use a lot of allopathic medicine or conventional Western medicine. We use drugs when we need to. We have prescriptive rights and DEA certificates. Not everybody does. That's a separate certificate. But we can use those if we need to. We do minor surgeries, not major, and we're content to let the allopaths and the osteopaths have the surgery, mainly because we don't think we need duplication of effort. We do some oriental medicine and acupuncture. We do homeopathy, botanical and nutritional medicine, mind-body techniques. We do meditation, and we do all kinds of quantum physics things. Not to say that the other doctors don't do quantum physics, too. It's just not as common. You know, they tend to be more in the research end when they deal with quantum physics. Homeopathy, I have always explained as quantum physics medicine, because it's like magic. You know, you take a little pill that's similar to what you have, and poof, your symptoms all go away and you heal. So the first time that I heard about homeopathy, I said, that's quantum physics medicine. and now it's being proven, you know, as we learn more about quantum physics. So where it fits in with naturopathy is that we are looking for the kinder, gentler way. We will try to do things non-invasively, if at all possible. Now, sometimes you can't. Sometimes someone is too far gone. You know, and I've always said, if you have two cells to knock together that are still healthy, you have a chance. But, you know, there's a whole lot of other things involved. There's spirituality that's involved, you know, a person's life path, whether they want to stay or not. And that makes a huge difference. There's a lot of things that actually are completely tied up with quantum physics. And if you've heard anything about the quantum physics discoveries lately, they're saying that microtubules make up every cell in our body and every part of us. In those microtubules, there are little packets of information. They call them spinners, which is a little tiny packet. All it is information, so like data, like with your computer. Around those spinners is water, and outside of the microtubules are water. And in the center of this whole little package is hyperspace. This, they think, is how we are able to connect with other people psychically, telepathically, whatever you want to call it, spiritually. And this is how we connect with God Source. This is how we go through time. This is how we order our hologram. So quantum physics is more about the holographic universe. And physicists, don't write me hate mail. I told you I don't know anything about physics. Okay? But this is my understanding of it. So I'm kind of like in the layperson's way of understanding of physics. But I can see that it makes perfectly good sense from the way I look at it, because I've seen what happens with this type of medicine. And so I brought the holographic projectors in because I knew that if they were quantum physics devices, and if they were really doing what Dr. Bell said that they would do, that sending out packets of information into the universe was going to cause an effect of packets of information coming back. And if we are truly holograms, and all of our lives are holograms, and this is a movie that we are creating from some distant place, then this makes absolutely perfect good sense. So that's why I've incorporated this stuff in. But actually, naturopathic medicine has been dealing with the holographic universe and with quantum physics for a long time. We just didn't know it. Does that help?
Yes, it helps. Thank you. I'm so grateful for you taking my call and answering my questions. You very concisely conveyed the answers.
I'm so happy that you called. And I hope that this helps you to be more confident on your journey.
Yes.
With what you need to do with your own health.
Yes, thank you.
You bet. Thanks for calling in. Okay. Any more, Don?
No, right now.
Okay. Then I will go on with my ramble. So, when we come to naturopathic medicine and quantum physics, as Cindy just asked, I am excited. And I'd like to explain a little bit about the study we're going to be doing, because I was so excited, I was like a little kid jumping up and down. And those of you who know Dr. Fred Bell, whose program is on a couple hours after this one, you know he's a wild man, and he's an amazing guy. And if you have not listened to his shows, please listen to his shows. You will just be amazed. He'll knock your socks off and blow your brain up. You know, he's just an amazing guy. One of the things that I asked Dr. Bell is, how do we actually utilize this? You know, he's a physicist. So I'm asking constantly, what is it that you think will happen? You know, what can we possibly do? How can we test this? So we came up with this idea when I was talking with a woman who does resonant field imaging and has gone all over Sedona with these machines. And she's measured the vortex energies. It's actually measurable. She can tell you precisely where they converge. She found the center point of...
Cord might be out of line in a second.
Okay. Is that Nevin? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, I can barely hear you. Who do I have on the line? Hello? Did we lose our caller?
I don't know what just happened there. I really don't. I apologize.
It's okay. It's one of those mysterious energy things, Don.
Yeah, I personally think we can't take calls today.
Okay.
All right.
Darn.
All right.
Well, maybe you could relay it if they're short questions. Shall I just go on, or do you have someone? Okay, I'll just go on.
Yeah, I would just go on. We're not going to take calls in this program, only because it's a little difficult for us to do with the equipment the way it is.
It's just it's those mysterious quantum waves flying around, Don, and, you know, stuff like that. We've had a lot of strange stuff happen over here, too. But then, you know, I live in Sedona, so we're used to it here. Okay, as I was saying, we're going to do a study. And what we're going to do is we're going to measure people before they go into the holographic projector room. And for those of you that don't know, I've set up a projector room at my office with four of Dr. Fred Bell's Andromedan projectors. And I have two sets of lasers focused on each projector. So we've had some really interesting things going on. We've got we've created a vortex, a portal room there, and we're kind of calling it the Sedona Vortex Experience. We've had very interesting things happen. We've had people seeing beings walking in and touching their hearts, and they instantly burst into tears and release something of long-standing grief issues. And I've had big macho guys come in there and just burst into tears and say, that was the weirdest thing I ever experienced. I don't know where that came from. But they were able to release something that had been holding them back. So what we're doing with this room is we're contacting these beings of love and light and compassion in the other dimensions. And we're asking for their help. And they're coming. You know, some of the people that come in, the room is so filled with beings instantly that I'm like crowded out. And sometimes they come through and they have a message for me. And I'm going, why are they giving you a message? You know, this is your time in here. You know, why are they giving you a message for me? But everybody that's gone in there has felt something. Some people go right to sleep, and I think it's because they have such resistance that they just have to kind of be pulled out of the body so that they can be worked on. But everyone has had things happen that are quite interesting, and we've had you know, quite a lot of manifestation things. So people come in and ask for something that's, you know, been troubling them. I've watched people's faces change. I've seen some of the most hard-bitten women you've ever seen walk into that room. And, I mean, you wouldn't want to meet these women on the street because they were hard. And they walk in the room, and 15 minutes later they come out, and they have faces of angels. You know, they've changed that much in a short time. So something is obviously going on, and I want to be able to measure it. So we're going to do the standard medical stuff, you know, blood pressure and pulse, and we'll check the vision and do the resonant field imaging and whatever else we can think of. And I've got a Geiger counter, so I'm going to bring that out, too. There's no radiation in the room, and there are no known side effects with this. So we figured, you know what? We got this equipment. Let's see what happens. We don't know what's going to happen. So we're going to run this study for a couple months, and I'll be presenting the information at Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Seminar, May 26th through the 28th in Laguna Beach. So if you aren't signed up for that, you might want to sign up, because not only is Fred there, but Dr. Bill Deagle will be speaking there, too. So it's going to be a really wild time. You know, I'm just hoping they give me 5 minutes to get something in there. Is that another call, Don?
No, it's not.
Okay. You guys are beeping at me. So, all right, back to the holographic room. So what I'm aiming to do with this study, people, is to really come up with some data that's reproducible, and then we'll run the study for a longer time. But the people here are pretty excited about it, because the people who have come in and used the room have had some incredible spiritual leaps. We had one lady that came in and had a goddess experience, and she was just blown away. We had another woman from India that came in this last weekend, And I came in to get her out of the room, and I said, well, how are you doing? And she was sitting there with her eyes just blasted open. I said, are you okay? And she said, I saw Lord Shiva. And she saw the saints. And I was like, wow, that was pretty impressive. Wish I'd seen them. It was quite interesting. So we have a lot of things going on in there, and I think what's happening is that by opening up the portals to the higher dimensions, we're giving people an experience of spirituality and of connection with Source that might have taken many lifetimes to get to. I think it's just kind of like a little bit faster jaunt, you know, rather than walking 2 miles to the church, you're jumping in the car and driving for a minute. So it's kind of like that type of a thing. We have these tools. We have a lot of tools. And can you reach enlightenment yourself? Sure you can. It can happen in an instant. Do you need the room? No. Do you want to? Oh, yeah. Most people do. It's really fun. And the way I look at it is if it brings you peace, it brings you connection, and it helps you in your journey to health, then why the heck wouldn't I do it? So I do it myself, and a lot of my friends come in and do it. We have quite a few people that come in every week and stagger out of the room after 15 minutes going, wow. And all I can say is I know it's quantum physics, and it makes perfectly good sense. We are connecting. We are bringing closer to us the reality of God, whatever you want to call it, the source, the all that is. We're becoming more aware. And people could argue, well, you know, is that something we just opened up in our brains and we're imagining it? Sure. Could be. My take on it is, if you have a tool that's going to take you beyond blockages, beyond time and space, beyond karma, to where you're standing looking at your hologram, and you are affecting the hologram. You are the one who is deciding what your script is going to read and how your movie is going to go. And you have no blockages. Wouldn't you want to do it? How many of you really would like to have that leap, that quantum leap of consciousness? How many of you have wished for something that you could do that would get you past your stuck spot? I know I did. When I first heard about the room that Dr. Bell has at his house, I said, just give me a half an hour in that room and I will manifest the rest of my life in the way that I want it. Now, unless you're famous, you don't get into Fred Bell's house. So I haven't been over there yet. And so I thought, well, okay, I'm going to have to develop one of these things myself. And, it's a little pricey. So I started thinking about how can I help the light workers on the planet? How can I bring something that is not only going to help the few people that I'm able to treat, because there's only so many hours in the day, but help everyone who can afford to come here and do this? And I thought about it, and I thought, you know, I remember how I felt when I first heard about these projectors. I remember how much I wanted to experience that. And so I've opened it up to the public, so it's the only public access place in the U.S. where you can come in and get that experience. And it's all about enlightenment, people. It's all about people taking responsibility and stepping up, feet firmly planted upon their life path, and saying, bring it on. Are you ready? Is this something that you want to do? Because you know what? It's available now. And I'm going to get some data on this stuff and be able to present it and write about it. And I'm all for anything that's going to help us to reach that point of connection that is so profound that we live there. So to that end, we're going to wrap up the program now, and I'm sorry that we weren't able to get the phone situation straightened out, but thank you callers for calling in, and I hope that this show has helped people. I hope that you've been able to get something out of it that's going to help you in your path. And as always, be happy, be healthy. And thank you. And we'll see you next week with Ariane Thomas talking more about the types of quartz crystals and what to do with them. Awaken, awaken, awaken the dream.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a bloginservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.